It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're going to do something a little different for today's Friday Politics segment. It all started yesterday morning when I got a phone call with a 202 area code. I know from experience that's Washington, D.C., and I thought it might be someone from Senator Tammy Duckworth's office. We're trying to get her on the show next week. Instead, the voice on the line said, "This is so-and-so calling from the White House." No, we are not about to bring you an interview with President Biden, but they did want to see if we might be interested in talking with Carrabo Jackson, one of his economic advisors. It just so happens Jackson has ties to Illinois. He's a professor at Northwestern, specializing in labor economics, education, and social policy. The administration is eager to talk about the latest government economic numbers, which capped, as Bloomberg put it, an unexpectedly strong year. I thought it'd be worth hearing what Jackson had to say, to challenge him on some aspects of the economy the administration might not want to talk about, and when we're done, to break it all down with our woman in Washington, Linda Kenyon. I spoke with Jackson yesterday afternoon. Linda will be with us live in about 10 minutes. Professor Jackson, welcome to the 21st show. The latest GDP report shows a healthy rate of growth, 3.3% for the last quarter. To start off briefly, what does that mean for the average American?
So I think it means a bunch of things. So the first thing I want to point out is that when you look at this number, 3.3% growth overall for the year, that's 3.1% GDP growth. This is consistent with the kinds of growth that we were seeing before the pandemic. Overall, one of the big drivers of growth was actually consumption. That consumption growth is undergirded really by a strong labor market. We've had 23 consecutive months of unemployment below 4%, which is a record we haven't seen in about 50 years. So we have a strong labor market. A lot of people have jobs. In the past 6 months, we've seen positive wage gains that are outpacing inflation, which means that paychecks are growing faster than inflation. So each paycheck is buying a little bit more. All of that is generating positive income that Americans are spending and generating this positive growth. So I think it's a good news for the economy. And also it means, if you look at that as what it predicts in the future, it suggests that we're in a very stable place and you can expect stable, steady growth in the future. That's sort of from the bottom up and the middle out.
So it's people spending, it's holiday shopping, it's that sort of thing. Were there any areas of the economy that maybe didn't meet expectations?
For the most part, the report was very strong. Overall, like I said, the biggest driver of growth was consumption. That tends to be a large contributor to economic growth in general, and that was the main driver.
All right. So you have a background in education and social policy, professor at Northwestern in those areas. How do you see this economic growth actually translating into, you know, real benefits for people who rely on public education and social services?
That's a great question. So, I mean, two things I'll point out is that one of the things that we saw, if you look at the data for the past year, is that in the past 6 months, we've seen real wage gains that are outpacing inflation. So paychecks are growing more than inflation is. So people have more disposable income to spend. In fact, if you look overall for the year, real disposable income grew 2.5% in the last quarter. So more Americans are feeling more comfortable. That's going to hopefully lift more Americans out of poverty. And that's a natural organic way to do it. Having said that, you know, there are a lot of Americans who are still feeling some hurt. And the Biden administration is doing everything they can to make sure that the American people who are in the unfortunate position to have to need public assistance are getting the things that they need. For example, there's a summer program to provide meals for children, which is going to start this summer. The Biden administration is supportive of having the CTC. So all these things are programs we want to make sure we maintain to ensure that the safety net is strong for those who have to depend on it. But ideally, you want to have strong labor market to generate gains for Americans, and that's what we're seeing.
Critics are going to say that GDP growth is one thing, but you know that doesn't really address some of the underlying issues that we have, like income inequality or cost of living. How do you respond to those concerns?
Yeah, so you know, on the cost of living, you know, the Biden administration, we're working hard to make sure that we can drive down prices for things that are unnecessary. For example, we're trying to fight junk fees. The Biden administration is basically fighting junk fees to make sure consumers can actually compete on price and find the best deal, trying to make sure the cost of housing comes down by promoting the creation of affordable housing, also promoting the conversion of commercial space to residential space, increased supply of housing to drive down prices of housing for those who need it, also making sure that those who have large college loans are able to repay them through the SAVE plan. which cuts down monthly payments to about a half or even less of what they would have been before the plan. So there are a lot of things the Biden administration is doing to make sure that Americans can make ends meet and overall and hopefully benefit from the gains the economy is generating overall.
You know, there's been a lot of talk, as you well know, about the potential for a recession. A lot of the headlines about this GDP report we're talking about use phrases like unexpected and surprise or something like that. How do you assess the current risk of a recession in the U.S.? We've been hearing about this for a long time now.
You're exactly right. So what you're alluding to is if you looked at the predictions that were made, you know, 16, 18 months ago, people were saying that having the United States go into recession in 2023 was inevitable. One outlet had it at 100%. Now, clearly, that hasn't happened. I think through a partnership of the Biden administration, small businesses, small local governments, the American worker, we've managed to defy expectations. Americans have defied expectations. And if you look at how we've done relative to our peer nations over in Europe, we've had about twice as much overall GDP growth since 2019 than our peer nations. So things are looking very, very strong. So, you know, I don't want to put a lot of stock in people trying to predict the future. But I will say, based on the numbers that we're seeing, everything is looking healthy. We've sort of weathered the storm associated with the COVID pandemic. And right now, what we're seeing is consistent with stable, steady growth, which is bottom up and middle out.
What do you think about this idea that, you know, the sour economic mood, it's really all about vibes? I'm sure you've heard this, the vibe session, some people have said. People feel the economy is not great. And maybe that's seeing people who are homeless sleeping on the L train in Chicago or something like that. And it's, you know, it's hard to overcome those emotions with facts. How do you respond to that?
So I want to point you to some facts, I guess, first, which is if you look at the most recent data, the last two measures of consumer sentiment have improved. You know, consumer sentiment went up a lot in December and January relative to what it was before. So to me, that's an indication that Americans are starting to feel the benefits of this economy. Like I said, it's been about 6 months that we've had real wage gains, that is wage gains, growing wages that are growing faster than inflation. And that's sort of consistent with the improvement that we're seeing in consumer sentiment. Another good measure of consumer sentiment is what they're spending. And you can see, like I said, one of the major drivers of GDP growth has been spending. Another thing I'll mention is people have done surveys asking people what they feel about their own financial situation. And those numbers look much more healthy. So a lot of the time, what we're seeing is people are getting a sense of what the economy looks like. That's not necessarily reflective of their own personal experience. Having said all that, things are moving in the right direction, and there's still work to be done, absolutely. So we definitely are going to work to make sure we maintain this positive growth. There's a lot of policies such as the bipartisan infrastructure law, the Inflation Reduction Act, that have all are making investments in the American worker to generate good, clean jobs, good labor jobs, to make sure that we have strong jobs, strong wage growth for American worker, to make sure that that only continues to improve over time.
We've heard this from the president himself, this sort of, you know, low-level frustration about all these, you know, great things in his view that he's done, how strong the economy has weathered the pandemic, that sort of thing. You are on the Council of Economic Advisors. I imagine you're getting that as well and among each other. How do you, because again, you have all these facts, but what people feel sometimes, you know, isn't really always as susceptible to facts as those of us who are rational-minded might like. How do you navigate that?
Well, like, you know, I think one of the important things to keep in mind is that, you know, the numbers are improving. They're moving in the right direction. And I would expect that as we continue to see good news, you know, the latest week, you know, the Dow Jones had record numbers in the past week. So things are absolutely moving in the right direction. I think the economic mood is starting to turn. Now, of course, you don't want to spike the football, but things look like they're moving in the right direction. A lot of this is due to the policy that the Biden administration has put into place. And we continue to roll out these policies. And many of these policies have taken effect, and they will continue to do so in the future.
We're coming to the end of our time together. You are a labor economist. I wonder how you think the trends we've seen with jobs and how that's influenced this economic picture and where we might be heading with job creation and wages in the near future.
So one thing I would say is that you talk about the job market, and the labor market has been very strong. I think in December the number was over 200,000 jobs added. So we've had a very large amount of job creation, like 2.7 million in 2023. So we've had a very strong, tight labor market, which is to say unemployment was low and we're having positive wage gains. This is all very, very good news for the American worker. One, it means it puts pressure on wages. It means that people are better able to negotiate a raise if they want to, or if they want to switch jobs, jobs are available to do that. So this is all, I think, very good news for the American worker. And it really is, I just underscores the president's commitment to strong economic growth that really comes from the bottom up and the middle out.
And yet, is it double-edged, right? Because you go to the Chipotle and then you find they're closed early that night because they can't get the help they need because it is such a strong job market. And then maybe their feelings, their vibes about the economy are negative, right? Because they see, well, this business had to close because they can't get help.
Well, you know, one thing, it's always important that there's certainly always specific examples of things that people can talk about. But if you look at the overall picture, the economy is strong. You know, 2023 saw record numbers of new business formation that's happened. We're seeing this in multiple different data sets. That, like, the number of new businesses that have been business applications are at record levels, levels we haven't seen in over 25 years. So it's pretty clear that we're in a time right now, which is a good environment for business, and it's a good environment for workers. And that's what the data are showing. And our GDP numbers point to this as well. Now, I should say, of course, it's certainly true that there are going to be certain pockets that are not always feeling these gains. And the administration is always focused to make sure that the benefits of the broader economy are enjoyed by all Americans.
Professor Carrabo Jackson, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Carrabo Jackson is a member of President Biden's Council of Economic Advisors. He's also a labor economist and professor at Northwestern University. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. To talk about what we just heard and what else is happening in Washington, we turn now to Illinois Public Media's D.C. correspondent, Linda Kenyon, who joins us live. Linda, happy Friday. Good to talk to you again.
Well, happy Friday, Brian. I'm happy to be back.
So you heard me there talking about this vibe session, right? Economic vibes, the idea that no matter how good the data might be, people still feel like there's a recession or the economy is not good. So in that context, what is the significance of the administration putting itself out there, reaching out to a humble public media program in Illinois and having advisors do interviews about the state of the economy? What's the game there?
Well, to put it bluntly, it's an election year. President Biden is speaking about two main points as part of his reelection campaign. Number one, and again, only number one for the purposes of this conversation, but not necessarily in this order in the eyes of the campaign. But let's just say for this conversation, number one is the economy. Number two is abortion politics. And the president is trying very, very hard to get those two messages out to the public, especially in Midwestern states where there are a lot of voters who are not decided, who may be from blue districts in red states or red districts in blue states or purple districts. And the president needs those voters. So he's reaching out with his economic message and, again, the message of abortion politics and the Roe v. Wade being overturned and how individual states are now deciding that issue for themselves. So the economy used to be the major, if not the only issue that people would vote on or that candidates would campaign on. But now we have two very top issues, and he has clearly been directing his campaign, and the campaign staff has clearly been taking this message on the road by speaking to you and to other radio stations and TV stations across the country.
Yeah. And you mentioned the Midwest. Of course, this election, like the last couple, may come down to a few tens of thousands of votes in a handful of states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Nevada and others. How does the message we heard from Carrabo Jackson there compare and contrast with what you've heard from other corners of Washington, especially people who have been wanting to play up some of the negative aspects of our economic situation, right? The inflation we saw a year ago and predictions of a recession that have yet to arrive.
Yeah, the whole recession issue was discovered to be a non-issue. The Republicans and the Democrats were very much going at each other over the state of the economy. And the situation became a recession. What recession? Largely led, as Mr. Jackson just told you, by consumer consumption. That the shoppers, the voters, the consumers, they went out and bought everything they needed, if not more, regardless of all the naysaying about the economy. But as you rightly pointed out in your conversation with the professor, there is one thing between the facts and the other is the feelings. And if consumer sentiment on numbers may be in the very positive side of this sliding scale, when you talk to the average person on the street, they'll say, why am I still spending more than $3 a gallon for gasoline? Why am I spending a minimum of $3, $4, maybe even $5 or $6 for a dozen eggs? It really comes down to those very basic pocketbook issues.
Well, one last thing I do want to ask you about, unrelated to what we have been talking about so far, is the subject of a spending deal for both aid to Ukraine and border security. The border has been a top-of-mind issue in Illinois in the past year or so in a way that it really hasn't been in the decades I've been covering politics here, and that is because of the migrants arriving in Chicago. Just about a minute remaining, but it seems President Trump is doing his best to block the deal I mentioned, right? It was going to be aid to Ukraine in exchange for a border security deal. What are you hearing about this?
Yeah, there's a very strange phenomenon going up on Capitol Hill right now. And that is, as has been voiced by Senator Mitt Romney, a Republican who's not seeking re-election, saying that he's absolutely astounded that the former president of the United States seems to be directing the politics of the current sitting House Republicans and Republicans in general, saying, don't give President Biden a victory on border security by passing a bill that would improve the border security issue. Let me have that issue, if you will, as a campaign issue so that I can continue to attack President Biden over his lack of doing anything about the border.
Remarkable. I'm old enough to remember when congressional leaders might have found it useful to buck the president of their party, and certainly the former president or candidate of their party. But that is a conversation we'll have to save for another day. Linda Kenyon, good to talk with you as always. Thank you for your time.
And thank you.
Linda Kenyon is Illinois Public Media's Washington reporter. Coming up after a break, we are going to pivot and bring you a conversation with jazz legend Branford Marsalis. He's going to be performing in Central Illinois this weekend. He spoke with my IPM colleague, Kimberly Schofield. That's coming up after a break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.